This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, February 4th, and you're listening to the RCR Daily Brief, your roundup of the day's biggest news. I'm Megan McNamara, and first up, we've got Paul Brennan with the news, followed by a sneak peek of an interview with one of the new COVID inquiry commissioners. Then RCR political analyst William McGimsey will join us for a closer examination of Trump's trade wars. And of course, Natalie Cutler-Welsh is here for RCR Signpost, a roundup of the newest interviews, key campaigns, and all the information you need to take action. Now for the news.
Good afternoon. In response to the Trump administration's new tariffs, Canada has retaliated with its own trade restrictions, while China said it would file a complaint with the World Trade Organization. However, US President Donald Trump said his tariffs on Mexico would be paused after its president agreed to discuss deploying 10,000 troops along its northern border with the US. Trump said the tariffs were a negotiation lever to stop flows of people and drugs pouring over the borders into the US. Trump also threatened to impose fresh tariffs on both the European Union and the United Kingdom.
Am I going to impose tariffs on the European Union? Do you want the truthful answer, or should I give you a political answer? Absolutely.
Although no new tariffs were placed on New Zealand goods, economists warned that the start of a US trade war could cause interest rates to remain high and increase the cost of some imported goods. In New Zealand news, the government has introduced two non-financial sanctions to its beneficiary traffic light system. The report job search policy asked job seekers to perform three job searches per week for 4 weeks, while upskilling required participation in employment-related training for 5 hours per week. These sanctions were part of the Social Security Amendment Bill aimed at enhancing accountability without imposing financial penalties. ACT Party leader David Seymour has defended his party's response to warnings about former President Tim Jago, who was convicted of sexually abusing two teenage boys in the 1990s. Jago, who resigned in January 2023 after nearly 4 years as president, was convicted in 2024 on 8 counts of indecent assault. Seymour denied any connection between Jago's crimes and the ACT Party. Jago will serve a 2.5-year sentence, but planned to appeal. Turning to international news, US President Donald Trump announced a pause in funding for South Africa due to its land reform policies. South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, said the policy aimed to correct economic and racial disparities by allowing land expropriation without compensation. Trump labeled the policies a massive human rights violation. In a post on X, El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, criticized US aid funding, saying most of the funds were being funneled to undermine administrations that refuse to align with the globalist agenda. While USAID constituted only 0.7% of the US federal budget, defunding it would strike a blow against globalism. Samsung Electronics chairman J.Y. Lee was found not guilty of accounting fraud and stock manipulation, clearing legal risks linked to a 2015 merger. Prosecutors sought a 5-year sentence for Lee's accounting violations, but the appeals court dismissed all charges. Lee's lawyer said the decision ended a decade of concerns about his leadership. Now for RCR Quick Links. DairyNZ has begun talks with dairy farmers to discuss the first ever levy hike in its 16-year existence. StatsNZ said the cost of living for the average Kiwi household has increased 3% in the 12 months to December 2024. The number of threats recorded by police against politicians has fallen steeply since the coalition government took office. The government has released guidelines which set clear expectations for how its ministries and agencies should adopt artificial intelligence. North Queensland towns were issued an evacuation warning as the Australian region continued to be smashed with heavy rain. And US Secretary of State Marco Rubio told Panama it must reduce China's influence over the canal or face consequences.
Now let's hear from Grant Illingworth, KC, one of the Phase 2 COVID Inquiry Commissioners, in an interview he did with RCR's Alastair Harding yesterday. Phase 2 submissions opened on Monday, and here's what he had to say about how it will differ from Phase 1.
The terms of reference are very clear on the specific issues that we are asked to investigate. We're not asked to redo the exercise that was carried out in Phase 1. Instead, we are asked to focus on key decisions that were made by government during what was probably the most difficult period of decision-making in the whole of the COVID period. And that is the specific period we've been asked to look at is from the beginning of February 2021 through to the end of October 2022.
Okay, so you're going to be talking directly to the ministers who were making the decisions at the time.
We'll be interviewing a lot of people, people who made decisions, people who advised concerning those decisions, and we'll also be looking at, I imagine, quite a lot of documentation relating to that period of time and the decision-making process that was undertaken by government during that period.
Do you have any powers to compel testimony in this sort of inquiry?
Yes, we do. We have the power to issue a subpoena to require a witness to give evidence, and that's very similar to the power of a High Court judge to require a witness to attend a proceeding.
Many listeners might be wondering what kind of experiences will be in the scope for Phase 2. Here's what the Commissioner had to say when Alistair asked if they would be looking into cases where vaccine exemptions were denied following vaccine injury.
Most definitely. The position that we are adopting today is everyone who has a story like that is entitled to be heard. All New Zealanders have suffered restrictions on rights and freedoms during the pandemic. And every New Zealander who's been affected adversely has a right to have a say. And so someone who's in that category would be entitled to make a submission, and we would be duty-bound to consider it.
The full interview between Alistair Harling and Grant Illingworth will be dropping later this week, so stay tuned. Now let's turn to international matters and Trump's trade wars. Over to you, William.
Thanks, Megan. Trump's trade war is already bearing fruit. In a phone call with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum this morning, Mexico agreed to immediately supply 10,000 soldiers to the US border to stop the flow of illegal immigrants and fentanyl into the US. The tariffs with Mexico have now been paused for a month to allow time for negotiations to reach a permanent deal. Trump, ever the dealmaker, is using the tariffs as negotiating leverage to gain concessions in terms of border security, immigration, and drug control. We can probably expect a similar agreement to be reached with Canada shortly. But beyond short-term negotiating leverage, there's also an argument that the people of the United States haven't been as well served by free trade as everyone likes to pretend. The US has lost its manufacturing base, and the heartland has been deindustrialized, with all the jobs and factories going to China. Real purchasing power adjusted wages have been relatively stagnant in the US for decades, while the US heartland has been devastated by the opioid epidemic as drugs like fentanyl have poured in. A standard economic model of what happens when trade barriers are liberalized between a developed and a developing nation is that while consumption in both countries goes up, there are winners and losers. The winners are the workers in the developing country and the investors in the developed country. The losers are the investors in the developing country and, importantly, the workers in the developed country. What the above analysis means is that the economists all knew that free trade would make workers in developed countries poorer when they embarked on it, and that the only way to make the free trade policy distributionally fair was for it to be accompanied by massive wealth transfer programs to compensate workers who lost out. Yet the same groups advocating for free trade also consistently advocated against these wealth transfer programs and poured scorn on workers who complained about losing out due to the free trade policy. Furthermore, the neoliberal view was that bringing China into the international trading system would result in it abandoning its authoritarian communist ideology and embracing Western freedom. How did that idea work out? In fact, precisely the opposite has happened. Over this period, China has remained authoritarian and non-democratic, while Western countries have progressively abandoned their liberal freedoms and embraced an authoritarian woke ideology. Bringing China into the global trading system hasn't liberalized and democratized them, it has just enriched and strengthened a rising geopolitical foe. Being reliant on your geopolitical foe for the manufacture of essential goods and services is not a smart policy. Another problem is that the free trade policy has created a disconnect between the economic interests of Western elites and Western workers. The economic fortunes of our elites are tied to investments in multinational corporations that don't necessarily have to be staffed by workers from their own countries. They can offshore their companies or hire cheaper labour from wherever they can source it. This has created what is essentially a parasitic economic elite that is not invested in the well-being of Western countries. This has been a disaster. Back to you, Megan.
Thanks, William. Now let's turn to what's happening behind the scenes at RCR. Natalie joins us for her daily update.
Thanks, Megan. Natalie Cutler-Welsh here for The Signpost, where we bring you the latest interviews, big stories, and ways to get involved. First up, hopefully you caught last night's webinar on phase two of the COVID inquiry. We had an incredible lineup: RCR founder Alia Bland, lawyer Katie Ashby-Coppins, the Health Forum's Linda Wharton, and everyone's favorite scientist, Guy Hatchard. They got together to break down how you can make sure your voice is heard. And if you missed it, no worries. The replay is up now, and you'll find the link in today's show notes. Looking ahead, RCR Talk is diving deeper into the COVID inquiry this week. As you've heard earlier, RCR Special Report host Alistair Harding sat down with Grant Illingworth KC, the new chief commissioner of the inquiry, to unpack its boundaries, scope, and what to expect next. Catch the full interview when it drops on the website and app, and keep a lookout for the sneak peek on our socials. We love it when you guys share our socials as well, so if you feel called to do that, please do. Meanwhile, over on the app today, the Wilms Report is back. Tim Wilms joins Paul Brennan to give us the latest across the ditch, including how Australia's National Day played out. And for all of you media watchers, Media Matters returns for 2025. Marie and Marty are back, tackling media bias, spin, and the stories that never seem to make the headlines. We've got it all. Foundation Club members, listen up. We are so excited to connect with you all again this Sunday at 8 p.m. We're kicking off our very first Backstage Pass webinar of the year, so you can join me and some of the other RCR hosts, including Rodney, Paul, Jerry, Marie, and more, to get the inside scoop on RCR 2.0 and everything that we've got lined up for you in 2025. And finally, the wait is almost over. Keep an eye in your inbox today for some very big news about RCR 2.0 and the 2025 launch. If you're not on the mailing list, it's time to jump on. You can do that by heading to www.realitycheck.radio/email and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out. That's realitycheck.radio/email. And please go ahead and tell your friends to join our free email list as well. And that's a wrap for today. Thanks, Megan. Back to you.
Thanks, Natalie. And that's all for today's RCR Daily Brief. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day, and we'll catch you tomorrow with another edition of the show. Remember, all the links we mentioned in today's show can be found at the bottom of the episode. Until then, see ya.